Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, the NRL sin bin round, a roaring success. Adam Reynolds loves a challenge more than Nick Kotrich. And we launch Sex Fact Palooza. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You're playing games with my heart. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Full Credit Boys live from the Craig Gower Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts. He's a man who this week stood by his sin bin idea that he sent to Peter Volandis last week. He's set to guest star in the Friends reunion, and tonight he's wearing a bulletproof vest. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, hello, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, Brisbane. What a magnificent week of football it was. Sin binnings and send-offs galore. Fantastic spectacle. I saw on Twitter, former, I'm sure you saw it, a lot of creditors all catching up in Brizzy, getting on the 4Xs and generally running amok. Wish I could have been there, but I had my stupid wedding anniversary. Hello, Mrs. Sid. I know you're listening. I couldn't take any holiday snaps to share on Insta from beautiful Hamilton Island because, as all creditors know, come to our live shows, Mrs. Sid takes your phone. But it was a fantastic weekend of footy, and in all the excitement of Magic Round, something may have slipped by the punters out there. A new podcast stamp was issued, former.
Yeah, I've seen this. Great news.
Yeah.
I used to think this is a load of shit, but
yeah,
you've actually stepped up into some illustrious company after this week's addition to the
100%
and to the stable.
This promotion just seems to go on and on and on.
But I reckon I've got a feeling it'll end just after grand final.
But this week's podcast that was honoured, and it's a worthy honour, was the new Angie Kent podcast format.
Angie
it's good,
Kent. Now, why
good
do
listen.
I know that name?
Well, Angie, she's the good sort from Gogglebox. She's also been on Bachelorette, I'm a Celebrity. Basically, anyone that will have her, she'll go on there.
She'll get her on the show.
We should. She'll definitely come on. But now she's got a podcast. Everyone's got a fucking podcast, whatever. But hers is called Angie Tries It. Have a listen.
Hey, my name's Angie Kent, and chances are you've probably seen me on the TV at least once in the last few years. Well, now I'm going to be coming to you through your ears, which is great because it means I can just wear my tracky dackies while I'm recording. In my new podcast, Angie Tries It, I'll be trying a multitude of weird and wonderful therapies for the first time. I'm going to be trying things like a laughter yoga.
And unzip and let the laughter out. Let it go.
Want to come along for the ride? There's plenty more where that came from. Search for Angie Tries It wherever you get your podcasts.
That laughter yoga, that sounds like fun. Where you have to force yourself to laugh. It sounds like the members of Moon Man in the Morning every morning.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's true. I just listened to that.
Yeah.
What's with the horse noise?
Yeah, I don't know. There was a zipper noise. There was all sorts of stuff. She obviously doesn't use road equipment because the sound quality was terrible.
Very ordinary. Remind me to, we'll tell that futon story at the next live
show. I was going to hear you up about that futon story.
One of the greats.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm BB Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Yeah, first story comes from the Yet Home Yeti, and it's a Malawi man dies after extreme orgasm with sex worker.
Yeah, mad.
A man has died from an extreme orgasm after passing out while he romped with a sex worker. The 35-year-old, named in a police report as Rusty Horn, lost consciousness after having sex with a woman in the trading district of Falombi in Malawi. He died shortly after doing the deed. And shooting a bolt, and a post-mortem has officially determined the cause of death as an excessive orgasm, Sid, which caused blood vessels in the brain to rupture. Ooh. I mean, he got to come and go at the same time, as they say.
Yeah, exactly.
The sex worker decided to report the death to police after speaking with her colleagues a couple of weeks later.
Build him for the whole 14 days before she reported it.
Have you maxed out his credit card yet? Yeah, I'll tell him then. Yeah, right. Good as God. Cops and a medical...
Shout out to me, mate, Lumpy. That story. Anyway, let's move on.
Cops and a medical examiner from Magawi Health Center viewed the body and confirmed the cause of death on August 18 last year. According to local newspaper, the Nyasa Times, a subsidiary of the Yet Home Yeti, the man died of too much sexual excitement and sweetness.
And sweetness.
Innocent Moses, that's right, I didn't make that up, a Falombi police station spokesman.
He wouldn't die from such shenanigans.
Confirmed that innocent. Innocent. You'd like him as a judge. Confirmed that Mr. Horn booked a room with the sex worker and ended up collapsing and becoming unconscious while in the act. I mean, it's very sad for the man and family and all involved. He came into this world with nothing and he went out of it with great memories, Sid. But yeah. Anyone know where this woman works? Anyway, meanwhile, a study has suggested that having sex at least once a week actually halves the risk of early death. Researchers found regular romps are linked to lower odds of dying from cancer, heart disease and other illnesses. They say a workout between the sheets is equivalent to moderate intensity exercise and has similar health benefits. Which reminds me, Sid, I had some moderate exercise in your ensuite earlier this afternoon.
Excellent. I'll clean that up later. Yeah, it is a good workout. Having sex can burn the same amount of calories as 30 minutes on the treadmill, a 45-minute walk, or as some of my ex-girlfriends have said, it's the equivalent of riding a horse through the desert for 3 days, end up feeling parched and bow-legged afterwards. But this is the way you want to go out, former. Blow a puffle valve while you're on your load, doing the deed, probably wearing a West Tigers training singlet. That's how I've always dreamt of going out.
F-C-T-T-B. Next story comes from the Sackville Sack. Pilots use jet to draw penis in the sky in support of masturbating football.
There's a lot to unpack in that headline.
Bit going on, I'll admit.
Tell me more.
Two pilots are under investigation for allegedly manoeuvring their passenger jet through the air so that it drew the shape of a penis in the sky.
Sick.
The phallic-like turns were captured on flight tracking software and are apparently a bizarre act of solidarity with the Russian football team's captain. The unnamed crew of the Russian Padopia airline, no thanks, have reported to have flown the plane so they could draw a penis to back their country's team captain, Igor Tupil. Igor. Who was suspended from international duty after footage showed him masturbating in bed, and it was leaked online. A video highlights the alleged X-rated detour taken by flight DP-6969 en route from Moscow to Yekaterinburg. Good flight, that one, Sid.
Yeah, I haven't taken that flight.
On November 11.
I value my life.
Kremlin-owned RT called it a ballsy flight path, but questioned whether the alleged stunt was a bit too cocky.
Puns.
Normie Doyle wrote those. This was probably the way in which Potterba.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I call it something different later.
Air Potterba captains expressed their support to Russian team captain Igor Tupil, and it showed the attitude of him being bullied, said a spokesman for the airline. It was later confirmed that I bet you that's the first time that spokesman's had to do a press conference without talking about how one of their planes hit the ground like a dart.
Yeah, well, don't ruin me jokes.
Said a spokesman for the person. It was alleged that the Federal Air Transport Agency is investigating the phallic protest over the city of Neftomusk. The probe will also check whether the crew break the boundaries of ethical behaviour in the cockpit, Sid. Roman Gesurov, editor-chief of avid.ru, good site, favoured it. You have to be mad to perform those manoeuvres. These kinds of things get severely punished. Separately, the FSB security system service, which is the soccer security service, is investigating whether the 32-year-old St. Petersburg player Igor Tupil was blackmailed for $5 million over the compromising video, which is allegedly hacked from his mobile phone. The married player reportedly met a hacker responsible for stealing the intimate footage, but refused to pay the ransom.
Yeah, apparently Alan Joyce is filthy. This Russian mob stole his plans that Qantas had in place for the Sydney Mardi Gras next year, but a representative from the Russian airline, which you incorrectly called, it's actually called Smirnoff Air, said despite conducting an investigation into the pilot's unusual flight path, the airline is more surprised that Smirnoff Air Flight 5050 took off and landed without crashing into the Baltic Sea.
FCTTV.
Next story comes from the Cobar Courier. Australia's most Googled terms of 2020.
Interesting.
Coronavirus dominated the headlines in 2020 more than any other event in recent history. But if Google searches are any indication, Australians were more curious about another topic.
What was it?
US election was the most searched term in Australia on Google in 2020, according to new data released by the search engine. Trump v. Biden placed 10th. Coronavirus came in number 2, with coronavirus symptoms coming in 5th, and coronavirus Victoria in 9th. 3rd on the overall list.
Jeez, we're a boring mob.
I know. 3rd on the overall, not. I'll tell you what, that's definitely not my Google search.
No, this doesn't look familiar in my search history at all.
How to repair a futon was number... 3rd on the overall list was NBA, with the late, great Kobe Bryant in 6th place. Video app Zoom was 4th on the list. In 7th place was Weather Tomorrow. And 8th was Fires Near Me. The top 5 Australian public figures were Danny Laidley. I'm not sure who that is.
Dean Laidley.
Oh, is it?
You know who Dean Laidley is, right?
Yeah, he's, no.
He's an AFL cross-dresser.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Speaking of which, Boris Kerugliakin come in at number 2.
Yeah, good on him.
George Pell come in at number 3, right behind a child. That's right. Quaden Bales came in at 4, which was the kid that Miranda Vine tried to have killed.
Yeah.
And number 5...
Can't go on roller coasters.
Number 5 was Professor Pete Evans.
Good old Pete. It's good for something.
The most Googled public figure was Joe Biden. After his election opponent, Donald Trump, ran a distant 8th. The top 5 global figures was Joe Biden, Kim Jong-un, Boris Johnson, Kamala Harris, and Joe Exotic. Carol Baskin running a slow, late 10th.
Carol Baskin.
Killed a husband. Kobe Bryant was the most Googled celebrity who died in the past year after his fatal helicopter crash.
Yep.
He ran in at number 1 as the most Googled dead celebrity. Number 2 was Eddie Maguire's media career. George Floyd ran 3rd, not a celebrity, but Sean Connery was 4 and Kenny Rogers was 5th. Let's talk about sport.
Let's talk about sport.
The top 10 of sport Googled. NBA was number 1, surprisingly, in Australia.
Where was West Tigers? Number 2?
Number 2 was EPL.
Okay.
Not even sure what that is.
No.
State of Origin was number 3.
Yeah.
Champions League, IPL, whatever that is. French Open, the ATP Cup, I wouldn't think so. Australia versus New Zealand, Tennis Australia Open, and then number 10, AFL scores.
Where was Australian rugby, the Wallabies? Are they on this list?
No.
I'm scrolling all the way down. No.
Think dial-up. Google also released the list for the most searched terms on other topics, including recipes. Hand sanitizer was 1, sourdough 2, beef stroganoff 3, crystal meth was 4, donut was 5. And then how to make hand sanitizer, how to make a face mask, how to kill your wife, Barry, and not get caught, how to get tested for coronavirus, and how to make a fake vagina, number 5.
That sounds directly from your laptop.
How would you make a fake vagina? Dunny roll? NRL round review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yes, it. Every team from the competition travelled up to Brisbane, up to Abracadabra Stadium for the first NRL Sinbin round. And we started on Friday night when the Tigers got their premiership hopes back on track with
how
a hammering
good was it?
Of the Newcastle Knights, 36 points to 18, to kick off the Magician round in Bris Vegas.
Let me play this while you talk. I don't get the opportunity very often.
The game finished at 6-4 with a couple of late four-pointers saving the Knights from total humiliation. What couldn't be saved from humiliation was the NRL after their stupid crackdown on sloppy head highs and illegal play. Newcastle fullback Tex Hoy was sent to the sin bin in the first half, but he was just a mere pioneer in a well-worn path. After Joe Offa-Hengawi and Lachlan Fitzgibbon and then Moses Mbai were all marched by referee Grant Atkins.
Moses Mbai was marched. Moses Mbai was actually marched after the full-time whistle went, but whatever, who cares? This was a fantastic...
Should have argued it.
This was a fantastic performance. Captain's challenge on that one, Diet Atkins. Fantastic performance from the Tigers in this one.
Low fucking carb, fucking weirdo.
Great performance against the West Tigers Bunnies, it's got to be said. The Knights.
None from two.
Yeah.
And looking rocky.
You and I spoke about who we think will get the spoon or who will finish lower on the ladder, the Dogs or the Tigers, or who out of those two teams are any chance of winning two in a row. And it's performances like this that made me believe that the Tigers will be okay. When things click for the Tigers, we can be very good, as we were in this one. We've played some good games of footy. The results haven't gone our way. But then we come out some weeks and play like an absolute bucket of shit.
Mm.
But this was a fantastic performance from the Tigers. Brooks, Mbai, Talau, Dewey, Laurie, Noffa, all having good games in a cracking start to Magic Round. It went downhill from here.
It did.
And an absolute coaching masterstroke from Madge Maguire.
Well, it seems Madge Maguire might know a little bit more about rugby league than Tigers fans, social media users, and pudgy little podcasters after the uproar last week when he named his Round 10 lineup. The anger was directed squarely at the decision to move Adam Dewey from 5/8 to centre. Dewey has been arguably the team's best player in recent weeks despite the losses, and the logic was hard to fathom for some pudgy little podcasters.
Are you referring to me?
Mate.
Just move on, whatever.
Would I? You're made for futons. Maguire's move was designed
to... If you want to hear the futon joke, go buy tickets to the live show.
It's worth the admission alone.
I'm going to make Forma tell that story and a couple of others we've covered off on tonight. Not recorded.
Maguire's couple of good fights. Maguire's move was designed to unlock halfback Luke Brooks and give him full control of the side as essentially the sole playmaker.
Yeah, unleash Brooks.
Finally. He was like a big can of Coke they've been shaking for the first 10 rounds. Brooks was sensational and played probably his best game for the year to date. He had two try assists, a try of his own, while running for an astonishing 164 metres and kicking for 341 metres. Dewey scored a double and ran for 130 metres while knocking 6 of 7 conversion attempts over the crossbar.
Yeah, Brooks was fantastic in this game. Old Five Ed, I've been critical of him.
He was
as
due.
Everyone has. Yeah, he was due. See how many 170 games he's played, but whatever. He ran that right edge, the left edge, right edge defense, our left edge, that side. Anyway,
it's what you tune in for.
He ran down that left side with short balls to Garner a few times, a play that he runs so well when he's in form, has been doing it since he was a little pup running around for the Magpies. He runs to the line with options of Garner or another forward, depending on who Madge picks each week, running off him. But then he also popped up on the right-hand side of the field in a great display from him. It was due. Mbai shocked me. And the Knights defenders, he laid on the first try as Noffa got the ball away. Mbai ran across the field and gave a pearler of a ball to Talau through a gaping hole. Brooks backing up as a good halfback does and then had a try, a hand in the try to Noffa after that. When he ran to the line to create an overlap for Dewey to score, it was a dead set coaching masterstroke from Madge. If you look at the game stats, they were actually very even across the board, but 13 errors to the Knights and 8 to the Tigers. The Tigers took their chances and it was a dominant performance.
Yeah, and the second game on Friday night, well, Manly Seagulls absolutely tore the Broncos a new one, winning 50-6. The ability of the Seagulls to swing the ball and have defensive units on the back foot was on display on Friday night as they left the Broncos scrambling from kickoff. By halftime, it was 20-6 after a try late gave the Broncos some hope at the break, but that was snuffed out with a Seagulls domination in the second 40, running in another five tries to absolutely hammer the Broncos in an embarrassing performance. Again, there were four players sent to the sin bin throughout the game, with the Sea Eagles enjoying a 13-on-11 advantage at the 53-minute mark. Manly lost two players in the final minute to make it look even on paper alone.
It was an absolute demolition by the Eagles over the Broncos, who had a massive advantage over all the other teams, being the only team to have a home game this week. But it didn't help them.
But it was away. That would be away team. Go figure.
It's so weird. There's so many weird rules nowadays. It didn't help them, as they are no good at tackling, the Broncos. Former, a whopping 42 missed tackles by the Broncos in this game and conceding 50 points. So as we all know, you can put a line through the Broncos having a chance at the premiership this year.
I don't know about that.
All the way through to whenever Kevy gets the sack, you can run a line through the Broncos' name. But in this game, Saab, he was enormous for the Eagles. 109 running meters, two line breaks, a try assist, and two tries of his own. And of course, Tommy Turbo was at his best yet again.
Yeah, the Turbo once again was nothing short of superb, having four try involvements and putting Jason Saab over for a double early in the game. In an indication of just how great an impact Tom Trbojevic has had on the Saab's game, the former Dragon didn't tally a single try in the first four rounds of the season, but has snared at least one four-pointer in every match since, in which his gun teammate has featured when he came back from injury. Yeah. Included in Saab's hot streak is a hat-trick and two doubles. Despite being given an early mark in the 70th minute, the Manly Corso's second-fastest man still finished the match with two tries, two try assists, one line break, two line break assists, four tackle busts, and 175 running metres.
Yes, Saab and DCE, for that matter, should be giving 20% of their pay to Tommy Turbo.
I wouldn't mind 20% of DCE's pay.
It's only fair. Anyway... Incredibly, in this game, all of the Manly forwards ran for over 100 metres, with Tapau and Paseka running for over 200 metres. For the Broncos, only Payne Haas and Pangai Jr. ran for over 100 metres. All the rest was shithouse.
Passengers.
It was a totally dominant display.
How'd
for Manly.
How'd your boy Lodge go? Honest again, was he?
Yeah, I didn't watch this game. I don't know. But I know the Broncos were down to 11 men at one point, and that gamble high shot, that was a joke, man. That was a joke.
There was a few jokes on the weekend.
Yeah, there were. But Brisbane, they're a joke. They are horrible. And Manly consolidate their spot in the top eight after this one.
Weird.
Sitting alongside St. George former.
Weird.
Who would have thunk that?
The first game on Saturday saw the Bulldogs go down to the Raiders 20 points to 18 in a miraculous victory. The Raiders spent some of the second half with just 11 players and the rest with 12 and still managed to come from behind to beat an ill-disciplined Dogs outfit.
Mm.
While it was just a two-point victory against the Cellar Dwellers, the heart and courage displayed by the Raiders could give Canberra fans some hope that all is not lost in 2021. They had Jack Whiten given 10 minutes for a late tackle at the three legs of Adam Elliott before Josh Papali was sent from the field for a shoulder to the head of Bulldogs winger Katoa. And despite being down by 4 points, they managed to find an overlap on two different occasions to score tries and win the game.
Look, I've got no drama with the Whiten sin binning. You can't attack the legs of a player held up in a tackle.
What about three legs?
Yeah, you can't attack the three legs of him. I don't know, that Papali'i one, I know it's the rules, but I'm a bit torn whether he actually attacked the head. There's a few like
that. Careless.
Yeah, but he got sent. But somehow, down a man, the Raiders found an overlap, as you said, twice to score back-to-back tries against the hapless Dogs. And it's rare for the Raiders to even score a second half try, let alone down a man. But they scored a good win here against the Dogs, who...
Was it a good win? I don't know.
Well, the Dogs can only score 18 points, so as long as you can get to 19...
Once you got to 19, you're fine. Four displays of Bulldogs' ill-discipline while leading and with player advantage proved costly as Trent Barrett's men pretty much handed Canberra the victory. The first was a poor kick from Jake Alvarillo on the last, which was easily taken in the in-goal area. Adam Elliott tackled Semi Valamai without the ball. A late shot from
Ava Siamafagai.
Yep. On Dynamis Louis, with Canberra scoring shortly after through Curtis Scott.
Curtis Scott. Oh, sorry, I thought you would stumble over that one too.
Then the Bulldogs conceded a set restart on the final tackle, a cruel blow as Sebastian Chris went through to deliver a hammer blow.
Yeah, they are just not good enough, the Doggies. They would have given themselves a chance in this one against the Raiders side that's lost five on the trot.
And we're down to 11 players.
Exactly. But it was a win for the Raiders. You'd think Ricky would be happy. Let's have a listen in our now regular segment, Ricky Stewart's press conferences.
To win and why press conference time. Here's Ricky, Ricky, Ricky.
Here we go.
Ricky, Sid Punts from Full Credit to the Boys. What do you think about the NRL crackdown on high shots?
Look, I know we've got to play to our mums and dads. I'm the first to promote the game. I have Fox in there in the shed before the game today just to try and give the people in the land rooms a feel for what it's like.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Ricky and the shitter on Fox NRL. Still better than Hadley and Buzz, I guess.
I don't have to do that, but I do it because I feel it's my responsibility to promote the game, and I want to promote the game to parents. But Jesus, we've got a game that's quite unique, and we've got a game that's not for everyone. It's as simple as that. It's a tough, brutal contact sport. And if we want to take that away, let us know. I'll start recruiting different types of players. I don't want to keep talking about it, mate.
All right, let's get off the topic. How's the bong cough going, Ricky?
You're not feeling real healthy.
He does make some good points, though, Ricky.
Yeah.
Even in a win,
it's
he still has a whinge. But
Trent Barrett was actually quite good as well. He said, mate, I don't want to win or lose a game where a team's been reduced to 11 players. He goes, this is not what we play for. He said,
and totally agree.
To win that game would have been a little bit ugly anyway. So, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I'm all for stopping head-to-head high shots. I suppose it's 2021, given where we've come from. But, geez, there's been some on the weekend where I just went, are you serious? The Chad Townsend one blew my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that, but it was soft as.
The Tyson Gamble one.
Tyson Gamble another was another one.
This is the issue. Obviously, the NRL wants to stamp out head highs, but they haven't put a lot of thought into the ramifications of changing the rules in round 11.
Mate, this is what they do. This is what they do now. They change rules willy-nilly.
I know. It's been covered off a lot in the media
COVID
during the week.
Yeah, but I find a lot of the media obviously have been worded up.
As you were saying, with COVID smashing sport worldwide last year, you and I were discussing this earlier today. The six again rule came in last year, and it's been basically hidden because everyone was stoked that rugby league could be back on the field. So they kind of just slipped that one in.
Mm.
I'm still not sure that that's a good rule, but it's in now and away we go.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, I know where there are people seen Brett Finch, who was on social media getting around.
Yeah.
Finchie's got his own issues and everything else, but he's not a complete dummy. And he came out with a couple of things. And I know we shouldn't be, or we should be doing our best to stop high hits and getting blokes concussion and everything
Absolutely.
Else.
Yep.
I don't want to see that. Not anymore. I did.
I love it, but you can't have it nowadays.
You can't have it nowadays, and I understand that.
Ruined my career.
But, yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, you didn't get them early enough. I don't know, mate. Like Brett Fitch said, I mean, between the six again and then the sin bins and everything else, and a lot of these high tackles do happen because of fatigue.
Okay. Well, that was the idea, that we introduce the six again, we get rid of a lot of the scrums. All these rules were introduced to increase fatigue. So the little players on the field, because players are getting bigger and bigger, they're saying, let's get the little fellas involved when people are fatigued.
And that's fine. I get that.
And we'll score more tries, but it's going way too far.
And just the blowouts, mate. Like, I agree again with what Finchie said.
Before this round, on the issue of blowouts, we were already talking about blowouts before this round.
You brought it up last week after the show. You were saying the same thing.
This is what's happening. Maybe it's because, as Ricky said, if these rules are going to change, I'll go out and recruit different players.
Correct.
So you can't recruit players on the basis of what the rules are going to be when they're changing them in round 11.
Correct.
So when Volandis comes out this week and says, well, it's bad roster management rather than rule changes, they go hand in hand.
What a kick in the guts.
You can't pick a roster knowing in advance what the rules are going to be because they change week on week. So there were already blowouts before this round, but we saw plenty of games this round where you think, well, this is mismatched. And then all of a sudden, the dominant side is up two players, 13 against 11.
Well, I think I told you before.
People are just going to switch off.
I know some people won't like this, but it's the honest truth. And I told you this before. There was a game on, I think it was Saturday night. It must have been, maybe it was the Sunday night game. I can't remember.
Yep.
But it was one of the games where there was an early send-off and I was like, well, that's the 1,001, right? Yep. And so at halftime, because it was already whatever it was, I'll try and figure which game it was later.
Yep.
It was already a blowout. So I flicked over because I seen some Twitter traffic about
the AFL match.
The AFL, and the Giants were trying to beat Richmond, and it was a real close thing apparently. So I flicked over. Now, I don't mind the AFL, all jokes aside. I can watch it. I watch any good sport. I like watching soccer if it's two really good teams and there's a bit to watch.
You want to watch a contest.
This game of AFL, and I told you this off air, I wouldn't turn it back until the end of it.
Yeah,
because the rugby league game was already gone at halftime.
And this is our showpiece round.
Showpiece round. And I know to be there was a different thing, and of course it's the carnival and everything else, and that's great. But to watch it on TV, and as Finchie did say, again, I don't like to quote the great man, but the blowouts, like 36-18, and that was actually a bit flattering to the Knights, 50-6. The Bulldogs Raiders game was close, but only because the best team by a mile were down to 11 at one stage.
Yeah.
The Rabbitohs 32-22. Like there's blowouts throughout the whole round.
Yep.
And the rounds previous to this, and it's going to get worse now when you've got blokes getting the sin bin.
That's what I was trying to say before, that there has been blowouts this year already.
Yeah.
And then they introduced this where some of the teams that you don't expect to win are down to 11 men 20 yep. minutes in. Why are people going to watch that?
But the one thing, I totally agree. Mm. And the one thing I'll say is don't fall completely into the way the media are manipulating this story. Because clearly there's been some sort of deal struck here. And they know where their bread's buttered. If they don't portray this as a good news story and everything else, then it's going to cost them further down the track. And like I said, no one wants to see blokes getting knocked out and everything else. But also, I want to see a contest.
Well, again,
I want to see a rugby league contest. I don't want to see
absolutely
a lopsided contest where it's like the ice hockey, where they just park a bloke off the ice for about 5 or 10 minutes.
Yep.
Just to, like, it's crazy to me in some respects. Like I said.
There were even media outlets this week saying, all right, if a team gets a player sent off, then surely after 20 minutes, they can replace that player. So this is just changing the whole fabric of the game.
Mate.
Any Balmain supporter will tell you, you can come out in a grand final and head high a bloke, their main attacking weapon.
Square him up.
If you get sent off,
it's worth the
then
risk.
It's like for like. Yeah, if you're going to get replaced after 20 minutes, Josh McGuire will be a prize signing
100%.
Anywhere. Just come out, take out a bloke and then get replaced 20 minutes later. There's too many rule changes, and then when they see the consequences of the rule change, then they think, okay, we've got to change this rule. It's getting ridiculous.
Well, you just say, like if you're playing Manly, take out Tom. I don't give a shit whether you get 3 weeks after. If it's a big game, take him out and then get a replacement for your send-off after 20 minutes. Are you mad?
Yep. But some of these tackles, the reason behind it is to stop attacking the head so people don't get concussions and CTE. But some of these tackles...
Soft as butter.
Aaron Woods stood up in a tackle, copped one on the chin, and appealed to the referee, played the ball. Two plays later, the ref's like, oh, we'll checked that.
Back to that.
Yeah, you're at 10 in the bin for that hit. There's no reasoning behind it. It's madness.
Mm. Speaking of Aaron Woods, the Bunnies were too good for the Cronulla Sharks, winning 32 points to 22. The Bunnies erased their previous week's loss by 50 against the Storm to beat the Sharks by 10 points. But disappointingly for the 50,000-strong crowd, there was just one sin bin in this game.
Boo.
It wasn't the slickest performance from the Bunnies, given that they were up 20-0 in the first half, only for Cronulla to launch a second half fight back and pull within sight of victory to trail 20 points to 16 with 14 to go. Cody Walker scored for his second try of the night before Jai Arrow then sealed the Bunnies' eighth victory of the season when he barged through four defenders in the middle of the Cronulla fence, while Marwin Hiroti added a late four-pointer for the Sharks as they crashed to their sixth straight loss as coach Josh Hannay slips to a career-winning percentage of 13%.
We're down to 13. I'm going to write a sting. We're going to have a Josh Hannay update every week. Look, the Bunnies, they got on the board first with some lovely ball work from Benji Marshall, and don't the commentators like to rub that in every time he throws a good pass that doesn't go into the seventh row of the crowd?
When he's missing tackles.
No, they do not, but he sent this pass, sending Koloa Matangi over.
I don't think that's how you pronounce it. It was a little bit embarrassing the way you said that.
It was through some
don't dwell on that, guys. It's a little bit embarrassing.
Whatever.
Simpleton.
But it wasn't so much the good pass. It was some very poor defense from Josh Dugan that should see him fit right in Japanese rugby. That talks back now. Then old mate Benji laid on another try to Alex Johnson. Is that how you say that?
I don't think so.
And Benji was carving up an attack. Let's gloss over his defensive deficiencies. But although the Sharkies had a late fight back, some good tries to Kennedy and a try to this guy.
You done messed up, Aaron!
And a try to Nakora. They saw them get within 4 points, but the Bunnies were always in control of this game, I think.
I think so. Damien Cook, obviously the former Beach print shop owner, had a night to remember for the Bunnies, providing them with the go forward that led to a number of tries. In the end, he finished with 48 tackles, a try assist, 56 running metres, a line break assist and three tackle busts. While the veteran hooker was on fire for Souths, a couple of the more experienced heads at the Sharks had a night to forget.
Absolutely.
Chad Townsend and Josh Dugan went missing in the loss. Dugan missed three tackles, while 2022 gun recruit for the Cowboys, Townsend, missed four tackles in the first half alone and blew a chance to get the Sharks back in the contest when Souths were down to 12 men after he threw a stray pass over the sideline and knocked a pie out of a bloke's hands.
Yeah, well, Braithen Astor was scathing in the commentary box about Townsend's performance, saying, and I quote, "That is poor from Townsend. I mean, he is a leader of this side. He's an experienced player. It is the fourth tackle. They're up against 12 players, and he tries to come up with the miracle play that was just never on. He had a split second to make that call, and he threw it, and he didn't care where it landed. It is careless."
I think he cares.
"It is careless, and it's costly, and it's reminiscent of my time at the West Tigers."
The next game on Saturday saw the Sydney Roosters, too good for the Cowboys, 30 points to 16. At no stage in this game did the Cowboys lead as the Roosters controlled the entire 80 minutes. Yep. The game ended at 6-3 as Cowboys half Scott Bongwater scored a double and tried hard all night to keep his team in the game, but the Roosters never looked like they were under pressure throughout the matchup. Thankfully for those fans who love lopsided competitions.
Don't we all? Get used to it, people.
Two sin bins in this game, one for each team, as both clubs felt the wrath of Ben, hold on, I'm Cummins.
Yeah, I've written a sting for him. I love it. Hold on, I'm Cummins. I like it. The Cowboys went into this game full of confidence. They thought they could upset a bashed up Roosters side, but a decision before the game kicked off by Coach Cranky Pants, Rodney Payton, to put this guy.
Look out! Here comes the condom man.
As 18th man.
Crazy.
Proved costly, former. The stats out of this game were very even, to be honest. You should see them. They're neck and neck.
Bee's dick.
But 10 line breaks from the Roosters.
Former's dick.
Proved too much. And the Roosters, they keep marching on. For all their injury setbacks, they sit fifth on the ladder with 7 wins from 7 starts, and they're looking pretty good.
Sam Walker is a clear talent.
I think you've got a new boyfriend.
Mate, he is off charts.
Love him.
He's a clear talent. Will no doubt be a 250-game-plus player, even though he's still only played two handfuls of games. but in a gentle reminder that not everything will go his way, he was used as a speed ump by former NFL player Valentine Holmes in the first half as he put Scotty Bongwater over for his first try. The young bloke also had an off night with his goal-kicking boot, knocking over 2 from 6, but his bad night is as good as a Chad Townsend good night as he scored a try and was instrumental in a couple more of the Chookies' tries.
Yeah, look, he had another great night. The try he scored with an inside ball to Radley, who broke through, and then Radley found Walker again on the inside. It was beautiful to watch for a kid that's only played a handful of games. He is on fire, the young fella. Trent Robinson spoke after this game about the crackdown on high tackles and has come up with some kind of a solution. He was happy with the crackdown and agrees that we should be getting rid of the head high tackles, but he has come out and said that the video referee should be grading high tackles on the run as they happen and adjudicating accordingly. So, for example, he sees a tackle, that's probably a grade 1, that's a penalty. That tackle, that was a grade 2, that should be 10 in the bin on report. And, that should be a grade 3 on report and a send-off. Of all the things that the video refs have to worry about during a game, I think this is ridiculous that it's come to this. And again, whilst the NRL has good intentions getting rid of high shots, it's a consequence of a crackdown that's opened up a whole can of worms, former.
Talk about making a small problem into a larger problem.
Uh-huh.
A live grading by the video ref. Ooh, yeah. Can't see what problems that could possibly cause.
We're going to have a panel of 7 as video refs soon.
Yes. The first game on Sunday saw
we should just have a live poll.
The Parramatta
from fans.
Mate, get your
who knows where it's gonna lead.
Parramatta Eels beat the Warriors 34-18. The Eels fell over the line to survive a second half fight back from the Warriors to score their 5th straight win. After 18 minutes, the Eels were up 24-0, with Western Sydney accountancy firm Regan Campbell and Gillard scoring a double to rattle the Warriors. Just before half time, the Warriors got one back to offer a glimmer of hope, but Parramatta scored straight after the break to snuff out much chance of the Kiwis getting the win.
Yep.
But shit got real for the Eels as the New Zealanders scored their next 2 tries to close up to 10 points before a game sealer to Eels' 18-year-old debutante and possible relation to the coach, Jacob Arthur, and he sealed the deal.
Yeah, fantastic scenes for Jacob Arthur to seal this win with his dad up in the stands coaching him, following in the footsteps of famous fathers coaching their sons in the NRL, former, like Judas and Nathan Cleary, of course. The famous one, Tommy Radonikis and Lincoln Radonikis.
Yes.
Played 24 games. Lincoln Radonikis deserved it. Nepotism. Wayne Bennett and Darius Boyd. But this was a good, solid win for the Eels.
Wayne Bennett and Scott Minto. Bob Fulton and Scott Fulton.
I forgot about the Fultons.
Chris Anderson and Ben Anderson.
Yeah, there's been a few, whatever. I just wanted to chuck in Lincoln Radonikis because he doesn't get a lot of mentions on football podcasts. But this was the Eels' 5th win in a row, as you said, and 9 wins from 10 games. They're kind of flying under the radar because they don't have that mongrel about them. But this could be their year, former. Wouldn't think so.
It's unbelievable to think that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck going to rugby union next year might solve a bit of a problem for Warriors coach Nathan Brown. Currently, the former Golden Boot winner is playing on the wing as Brown tussles between playing Chanel Harris-Tavita and the 18-year-old rookie Reece Walsh at fullback.
He's been named on the wing again this week.
Weird.
Mm.
Last week's return of Chanel number 5 forced Walsh back to the bench, where he sat for 53 minutes before being injected into the game at 5'8". Brown changed it up this week and Walsh joined the game in the final 5 minutes of the first half at fullback, with RTS shifting out to the right wing. Instantly, the Warriors looked dangerous as he caught a bomb, palmed Bryce Cartwright off like he had coronavirus without a vaccine, Sid, and then made a break. Walsh came up with a crucial try to keep the Warriors in the game at the 61st minute mark, and the class of the kid is pretty obvious. While RTS is off to kick the ball out in the full in 2022, what Brown does with Walsh and Chanel number 5 from here will be an interesting watch.
Well, to be considered for the fullback role, Reece Walsh will have to come up with some kind of middle name. Mm. Otherwise, Chanel Harris-Tavita is the front runner to replace Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, obviously. You need a triple-barreled name over there. But despite winning this game, Parra's second half was a little bit dicey, former. They allowed the Warriors to get back in this one, and that is a concern for me. Whilst they've only lost one game all year, they don't seem to be as ruthless as teams like the Panthers or the Storm or the Tigers, and they really need to fix that if they are to be considered a chance come finals time. Otherwise, they could go out backwards again.
The next game saw the Storm beat the St. George Illawarra Dragons 44 points to 18. Now, this is going to sound...
I picked the Storm in this one.
This is going to sound weird, but that was a pretty bloody good game from the Dragons, even though they went down by about 26 points.
Yeah.
The Red V lost Josh Maguire for 10 minutes in the bin very early
what?
In the game.
I know. What a shock.
Hard to believe. For a hip drop tackle, and then lost Tyrrell Fuimano, who was sent off for a careless high tackle on Ryan Papagiorgio just a few minutes later. And amongst all the drama, the Dragons only trailed the Storm by 14-10 at half time. The massive effort started to take its toll in the second half, but to a man, they had a red hot go for the entire 80 minutes, including scoring the final try of the game to Gordon Ramsay in the final minute of the game.
Yeah, as we were saying before, it's hard enough to beat a team like the Storm, probably with like 15 men on the field.
Mm.
To do it when you're down to 11 is just impossible. But somehow the Dragons scored a try against the Storm when they were a man down, and they did fight hard right to the end. This guy,
Duffman, oh yeah,
had a good game with two try assists, 93 running meters in only 43 minutes.
Any word on the contract?
Well, tragically, the off-contract former Penshurst RSL player, he will miss some weeks with a shoulder injury. He's Ooh. Playing week by week, which oh, is no. probably how you should sign him. in fact, the Dragons this week will be without 12 first-grade players through injury or suspension, with Josh Maguire and Fui Mayono facing five-week suspensions each.
Oof.
And this guy,
Makeli Ravalawa,
facing 2 weeks on the sideline. So a tough local derby coming up this week for the Dragons against the Sharks. Hanne, Mr. 13%.
Is his chance.
He's got a bit of a stiffy right now, former.
After scoring six tries last week, Josh Hadakar turned in an absolute shocker against the Dragons.
Appalling game.
Scoring just three tries in a real turnaround of form.
Shithouse.
Hadakar, who clearly was daydreaming about shooting and motorbike riding, finished the game with a hat-trick to go with 215 running metres, three line breaks and three tackle busts. His reversal of form must be worrying for Craig Bellamy, with rumours already suggesting that he may be released to the Bulldogs early.
And he should be. He's horribly out of form. Josh Hadakar, he's still saluted as first try scorer and scoring two or more tries for Sid Punt's bets here with bluebet.com.au. He should have scored eight tries, though, with the Dragons a man short for most of the game. You don't want to be short down the sideline when Adokar can have a chance of running around you. It's worrying signs for Billy Aker.
I don't reckon I've seen a bloke choose the sideline and then still beat the defender more often than that bloke.
Yeah.
You can't train speed.
I can't believe Cronulla let him go all those years ago.
Penrith Panthers, well, they shocked the world, getting up just over the 12-man Titans side, 48 points to 12.
I picked the Panthers.
It's 10 for 10 for the Panthers, who were never bothered by the Titans in a very lopsided game, which featured another send-off and a sin bin. The Titans' Herman S-A-S-A-S-A-S-A was sent off in the 37th minute for what's called a lazy arm that collected
Panthers winger Brian
He caught Brian high, which is pretty easy to do, on Sunday night.
That's a good point.
Given the previous seven games featured two send-offs and 13 sin bins, it's fair to ask what Big Herman had been doing all weekend, because clearly it wasn't watching footy.
Nope.
Earlier, the Panthers lost Moses Leota for 10 minutes when he became a sin bin number 14 for Magic Round after a high hit on Jamal Sweet Home Alabama Fogarty. On the scoreboard, the Panthers led 30-0 at halftime.
They don't sing that song. That's a bad reference.
On the scoreboard, the Panthers led 30-0 at halftime and ended the game in front 8-2 in a very lopsided affair.
This is why I'm in charge of the soundboard. That's not a John Fogarty song. But anyway, some terrible defence from the Titans with about five missed tackles in one play led to this guy.
TikTok sensation, Nathan Cleary.
and my outside tip for Dally M Player of the Year, opening the scoring for the Panthers. Then he scored the second try, and the Panthers were away. An incredible try to Leota, a 90-metre jobby, saw the Panthers go to a 24-0 lead. Then, as you say, SA, ran up from an offside position to absolutely coat hanger the 4-foot-tall
Panthers winger, Brian Tut.
And SA got sent off, and it was a smashing all day from there for the Titans.
Just thinking on the run here, maybe Herman SA isn't as stupid as you think. Because we've just had 8 games of footy, which means we've had 16 teams go through the dressing rooms. There wouldn't be much hot water left. So he's probably thinking, I'll get the last of hot water because I'll get sent off. He's a thinker.
That's the only explanation.
Given they spent much of the game down to 12 men, it's hard to get a read on how good or how bad the Titans are travelling right now. But one thing's for sure, the expectations have been lowered from the beginning of the year when they looked unstoppable with David Fifita destroying teams single-handedly. But it's hard to forget that in this game, with the Panthers down to 12 men, they were still able to score 2 tries in 6 minutes. They finished the round hanging on to 8 spot, the Titans, and in the next 5 weeks, get this, they face the Storm, Roosters, Manly and the Raiders.
Yeah, they're gone. Panthers. The Panthers were actually up 24-0.
Time for a culture and performance review.
Yeah, personnel review. Yeah, the Panthers were up 24-0, to be fair, before the Titans lost SA for the rest of the game.
You got a hot shower.
And they did concede 2 tries when having a one-man advantage. So the Titans are really having a fall from grace after the first 5 weeks looking like world beaters. But this is going to be the case now when reporting on games, I think, Former, having to take into consideration at what time did this team score and how many players were they playing up against?
Jeez, it's hard to be a punter.
How many players did they have on the team at that time? Something has to be done about it.
Yeah, NRL news, and much like how the Australia Post is doing a stamp series for podcasters. I think the next stamp series will be rugby league players who love a challenge, because the Brisbane Broncos have officially announced the signing of Adam Reynolds on a 3-year deal starting in 2022. The South Sydney halfback will leave Redfern at the end of the year in a huge boost to Brisbane's chances of rising back up the ladder after a disappointing 2020 season, I predict it, and 2021 season.
And then we laughed and laughed.
Kevin Walters says Reynolds has the exact qualities Brisbane were after in their search for a new playmaker. The Broncos are reportedly also eyeing Nicho Hynes,
Nacho,
Jermay Sua, Dan Gagai, and Kurt Capewell.
Jeez, you struggle with those names. That's why I'm laughing.
After landing Reynolds. The Rabbitohs also released a statement confirming the news and why they're unable to come to an agreement with Reynolds. Unfortunately for us, our salary cap position in future years did not enable us to offer Adam anything more than a 1-year contract at this stage, Blake Solly said. We've always understood Adam's position. We're happy for him that he's been able to secure a contract with another club that meets his and his family needs. Elsewhere, Parramatta Eels have finally announced the re-signing of star lock Nathan Brown, who will play 1 week and then coach the Warriors the next, and he's agreed to terms on a 2-year contract.
This Adam Reynolds thing is a bit strange for me. Wanye Bennett, as we all know, is the king of media manipulation. And after a 50-point flogging last week, all the talk this week in the media was about Adam Reynolds moving to Brisbane. Announced by the Bunnies when they were in Brisbane for Magic Round, and Wanye even joked that he and Adam Reynolds were going to spend the Magic Round weekend looking at places to move in together when they both move to Brizzy next year. Now, this has been strange for me from the start. Strange that the Rabbitohs would let Reynolds go. Even stranger for me, and I've said this from the start, that his coach, Wanye, who could very well end up in a role at the Broncos next year, has persuaded him to sign there. It's ridiculous. I think Souths have made a mistake.
News.com.au have reported that Sydney Roosters fullback James Tedesco has again exposed an NRL loophole that has been described as both comical and a farce by Fox League commentator Andrew Voss. With 15 minutes remaining and the Roosters leading the Cowboys 22-16 before running out 30-16 winners, Tedesco ran the line with Bill Burr coming in for a tackle where Burr hit the head with Tedesco immediately pointing it out to the referee. Burr was giving his marching orders despite Tedesco dropping to the ground as he got to the defensive line.
As he does.
Tedesco ran to the sideline for a free interchange under concussion rules before turning around and running straight back on for the free interchange. There are rules that allow it to happen. That's happened before with the Storm's Cameron Munster raising eyebrows when he did it earlier in the season in an incident that saw Victor Radley sin-binned.
It is a dumb rule. It was introduced.
What's the advantage of it, bud?
So the rule was introduced to allow for a replacement for a player who's being assessed for a HIA.
Yep.
So now that any contact to the head can result in a player being placed on report, and even being sent to the sin bin or sent off, it exposes this loophole that once again the NRL, in their haste to change rules, didn't think through the consequences. So the shot to Tedesco's head has now resulted in a player going on report, so they get a free interchange.
Yep.
The free interchange was so that Tedesco could go off and get a HIA. So at the time that he's off, they can have a replacement. But he didn't need a HIA.
So is it a mandatory...
Well, this is the change in the rules now. It's just made it all a grey area.
Mm.
So fans are sitting at home and just flicking over to the AFL now.
Pricks. Such idiots.
It's ridiculous.
Cronulla,
too many rule changes.
Cronulla prop Andrew Fifita has taken a spectacular swipe at sacked coach the beautiful John Morris, as the former State of Origin star prepares to return to the NRL on Saturday. Fifita hadn't played in first grade yet this season due to not being selected by Morris and then being suspended for a crusher tackle in reserve grade. He was named on the bench for Saturday's clash with South Sydney by interim coach, the stellar coach Josh Hannay.
13%er.
I got told to retire, Fifita said. I thought I went really well in the NRL All-Stars and in my second trial for the club. Then I got told everything in round one, all the negatives from the whole pre-season. It's what you get when you hear from the coach once in the whole time that I've been here. Bit disrespectful from him on my end. Fifita still has a year to run on his Sharks contract, but has been linked with a move to overseas to finish his rugby league career.
With his brother.
Yeah.
The shit David Fifita.
You're going to go Vanuatu with you.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if I told you that. I hung out with him. He was a bit starstruck by me, so we didn't really chat that much. But when this Fifita, was let go by the Tigers, he was also outspoken, saying that the West Tigers had two different change rooms, one for the stars of the team and one for the others. It was then pointed out by, I think it was Robbie Farah at the time, that was indeed true. One change room was for first grade and Fifita's locker was in the reserve grade change room. But here he is having a swipe at Johnny Cheekbones, who's not even there anymore, who took the Sharkies to the finals the past 2 years. But no, Fifita's now sucking up to Mr. 13%er Hannay. Let's see how he goes against the bashed-up Dragons in the local derby this week.
In an effort to improve the popularity of Buzz Rothfield on Fox Sports, outspoken TGB broadcaster Ray Hadley has joined the channel and will appear each week on NRL 360.
Very popular decision, this.
The veteran commentator will start this week, having been granted permission by his employers, Channel 9, to work for its rival network. Hadley was a caller on Channel 9's NRL coverage for several seasons before his contract ran out last year.
Thank God.
He didn't even get a phone call from Nine boss sports boss Brett Thompson to say his services were no longer required. Hadley says he's looking forward to working alongside NRL 360 co-host Ben Eichen and Paul Kent and not Andrew Voss.
When Fox NRL tweeted this out, did you see this, former?
Oh, it's still going.
It was,
as we speak.
Oh, is it? It was hilarious to see the replies. It would appear that Hadley is actually not that very popular out there.
Really?
There's a scoop for you. You heard it here first, people. But if you like seeing old men yelling at clouds, Hadley will be a great addition to that show.
Raiders star Josh Papali'i will miss the State of Origin series opener, while the Dragons have felt the squeeze of the NRL's crackdown with four players facing lengthy bans.
Does Papali'i even care? He doesn't really like football.
That's what I thought. He's happy.
Yeah.
Canberra was confirmed Papali'i will take the early guilty plea for a high shot on Bulldogs rookie Tui Katoa.
The 29-year-old was slapped with a grade 3 careless high tackle charge and will be banned for 3 games, which effectively makes him unavailable for State of Origin 1 on Wednesday, June 9. Canberra have also lost Jack Whiten and Josh Hodgson for the Saturday's clash with the Premiers, Melbourne, after the duo took early guilty pleas for their dangerous contact charges. Dragons coach Anthony Griffin will have a huge headache come team list Tuesday with 4 key players set to face time on the sidelines. Tyrrell Fulmiono has accepted a whopping 5-week ban after he entered an early guilty plea on the shot on Papa Giorgio that saw him sent from the 11th minute from the field in Sunday's clash. The news is just as grim for Josh Maguire, who's set to have a week full of meetings and will sit out 5 weeks for a grade 3 dangerous contact charge for a hip drop. Makeli Ravalawa was out for a shoulder charge, and Tarek Sims, dangerous contact. They've been handed 2- and 1-game matches bans, respectively.
That's why I'm picking the Dragons. Josh Maguire's not going to be there. There's a good chance they could win. When he's there, no good. Johnson, the
step for the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL. And the Swans smashed up the team, best known for systemic historical racism, the Collingwood Doves, by 30 points, while the GWS Money Pit went down to the Richmond Tattoos by 4 points.
It was a cracking game, the GWS Giants versus the Richmond Tigers, wasn't it? You watched it.
I watched it.
You loved it.
It was a really good game, and it ended... It was very exciting, and
was there a few melees?
No, there wasn't. It was. I'm telling you now.
Yeah.
AFL's picked its act up.
Yeah,
it's not as bad as it was the last few years.
Yeah, I'm going to tune in this week. AFL should be good.
Hashtag talk other games down. Cameras inside the dressing rooms have captured video of the moment two players, the team that's best known for systemic historical racism, Collingwood, appeared to be involved in a moment of inappropriate touching.
This is why you like AFL again.
Nothing wrong with this. Vision from the Magpies SCG change room in the lead up to their Saturday afternoon loss to the Swans is now reportedly under investigation by the AFL. Video shown during Fox Footy's pre-match broadcast showed Magpies superstar Jordan DeGoey touching, you reckon he'd learn, teammate Isaac Quaynor's bum as they stood huddled around each other.
Not Isaac Quaynor.
And during coach Nathan Buckley's pre-match address that got him down by 30. Fox Footy's Tom Morris first reported DeGoey touched Quaynor's rear with his left middle finger while standing behind him. He said, no, it doesn't matter. DeGoey.
Where are you going with that?
I was going to tell a really bad joke. But
do it.
DeGoey has also been seen, was seen appearing to rub Quaynor's left rump before the finger touch.
This is controversial.
How we start most podcasts here. The incident with DeGoey and Quaynor comes after a number of incidents of inappropriate touching were exposed within the Richmond dressing rooms last year. Tiger star Nick Vlosten and Jaden Short were forced to apologise to teammate Marbior Chol after the AFL investigation allegations of genital touching.
Look, it's all in good fun, former. It's all in good fun. Grabbing each other on the anus is just part and parcel of playing team sports, especially when I was growing up playing for Morris Brothers. This is fine.
Apparently, DeGoey was standing behind old mate, and he goes, can you feel my finger in your bum? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, look, magic.
Probably more a visual joke, but...
Rugby, hashtag talk other games down. I only thought about that as I did that last punchline. No one can see what I'm doing.
No.
Hashtag talk other games
There's
down.
There's going to be more calls for us to video this podcast.
Last week.
Wouldn't think so.
Last week we joked about the New South Wales Waratahs being 500-1 to win the Trans-Tasman Super Rugby Tournament.
We did.
Sid.
Tell me how they went.
Well, you might want to stop laughing. When I tell you that the mighty Tars scored 48 points against highly fancied Hurricanes on Friday night.
Go the Tars.
The New South Wales team scored 6 tries in an impressive attacking display.
I love the Tars.
Sure, the Hurricanes scored 64 points with 11 of their own tries, but, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Oh, 112 points, you're telling me, in 80 minutes with only 4 tackles made all game?
Volandi was as hard as a rock.
This has seen Josh Dugan immediately ramp up his efforts to play rugby next year. His manager, he don't care. France, Japan, the Penrith Emus, who cares? He'll fit right in. What a spectacle, former. a great game to watch, so they tell me, and by they tell me, I mean absolutely no one told me this was a spectacle.
Baseball, hashtag talk other games down. A nice afternoon of baseball took a wild turn at this week's Padres-Rockies game in Denver when an enraged, San Diego fan approached a man wearing Colorado colors and jacked the division rivalry up to 11. Fan footage shows the Padres fan punching the Rockies fan square in the face, knocking him out on impact. He crumpled to the ground immediately after being struck. According to sources, no charges have been filed, which is almost as shocking as the punch itself.
Yeah, well, this Rockies fan, on replay, he appeared to be falling into that punch, a bit like James Tedesco. So I'm glad there's no case to answer. This is fine.
Didn't you say a lot of your teachers were Rockies fans?
Yep. Hey, brother.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
All right, Sid, with thanks to NDF Electrical, it's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, it's time for Grab a Mirror. Sid put out a tweet around 7:30 on a Tuesday with the hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM. Thanks to NDF Electrical. I put out another tweet at around 3:30. Same thing, hashtag Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM. Reply to either of those. Use the hashtags and you're a chance of being famous.
Yeah, massively famous. It's a massive segment.
Sid,
yes.
Have a crack first.
Yeah, have a crack, bro.
What's green and eats nuts, Sid?
I don't know. Question without notice.
What? Syphilis. Oh, grab a mirror, Melbourne. Grubby, grubby little town. The joint best known in the last year as COVID Central, Sid, run by Dictator Dan, has finally had a couple of months of sunshine after being locked in their houses for the best part of 8 months.
Good for them.
Because of some piece named Karen who didn't wear a mask in Bunnings or something. I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, Sid, much like that can of Coke we spoke about earlier, it's been shaken and shaken and shaken. And once they cracked that can, everyone's been covered in froth and fizz. And while they've got COVID cases down to just a few returning cricketers from India, Sid.
Isn't it great?
It seems what you lose with one disease, you make up with another, as now Melbourne is in an absolute syphilis crisis.
Eh?
That's right. Much like a returning rugby league team from Bangkok end-of-season trip, Melbourne has syphilis figures reaching at least a 45% increase. Syphilis starts with an appearance of sores or ulcers before developing into a rash of little bumps all over your skin. And it seems half of Melbourne have wangs like resemble the texture of a Chiquito bar, Sid, and badges that are bumpier than a Braille Bible. It seems...
You don't see syphilis very often. I see it every Tuesday.
It seems old Dictator Dan might need to send Melbourne to another lockdown, Sid, or at least make them wear masks on their bed flutes in an attempt to stop the outbreak of that debilitating disease that has ended more than one Bangkok ping pong girl's hopes and dreams, Sid. Which reminds me, what do AIDS, syphilis and chlamydia have in common?
What?
Your primary school teacher. Anyway, grab a mirror, Melbourne, you grubby little town. At least put a raincoat on, even if it's dry outside.
10.
At Two Flies Punting. Grab a mirror, every fuck knuckle who has said, league is dead to me, I'll never watch another game, and bullshit like that. Pretty sure you all stopped when punching was banned, and then you stopped again when shoulder charges were banned. Fuck off already. Not every tackle was a sin bin, but it'll fix itself.
That is one side of the argument.
That's one side of the
argument. They brought it up today about the punching, but I like to think of it more as when they clamped down on ruck infringements and there was penalty after penalty after penalty. It didn't stop it.
No.
They just gave up on it.
Remember the night?
We'll see what will happen in
Stephen
this case.
Stephen Clark blew 20 penalties in one half.
Yeah, that was a cracking game of football. Mm. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
9.
But that was a good tweet. I like it.
Yada ye. Grab a mirror, people carrying on about how many shark attacks there have been and how many unfortunate, put those air quotes,
yeah,
deaths as a result. If you come into my home and threw yourself around the place with a giant board, I'd fucking kill you too. Dumb, hashtag get out of their house.
It's a good point.
Eat.
As Billy Connolly once said, did you read that bloke got taken by a shark? No, was he in Coles? No, he was in the ocean. Oh, well. at official Nennet, hashtag grab a mirror, Fox Sports, AUS. Put him in it.
Good.
You magnificent bastards for your misleading headlines. Now, it might just be me, but a headline that read, 45-year-old gets head, when referring to the dismissal of Travis Head in a cricket match, is not what I came to mind immediately. Hashtag happy endings.
I love it when commentators say, Tao Malolo has just gone for a dart. I was like, yeah, geez, I'd love to go for a dart right now.
Seven.
At Ben Gizzo. Grab a mirror at Cameron Bancroft. Put him in it. Don't rob a bank with this bloke. Simple no.
Oh, I'd never do a bank job with Bancroft.
Hashtag loose lips sink ships. Hashtag can't find his official. Someone else did for him. Hashtag grab a mirror.
It's all about to come out, apparently. Big cover up.
Six.
This big dick bastard. Hashtag, at Andrew RLP. Hashtag grab a mirror, Peter Volandis, for saying the game is more entertaining. 11 clubs have a negative points difference, and the margin between winning and losing sides is the widest it's ever been. And then he put up a graph that I don't understand.
No, but he would know.
Yep.
He's the king of graphs. If you're listening, Big Dick, send me that book. Thanks, bro.
Five.
At Jared, 25785049.
What was that?
Grab a mirror, me. At Jared, 25785049. Put him in it. For listening to At Former Legends tips last week.
Yeah.
Even as a proud Cowboys supporter, I said all week the Roosters would win until At Former _ Legend tipped the Cowboys as his upset of the week. I changed to the Cowboys and, of course, the Roosters won. In better news for you, Jared, I changed to the Roosters.
I was going
to
say, you tipped 8 out of 8. You can't change.
Of course you can.
Hang on. I'd be winning heaps better. I'd be going heaps better. I'd be winning. I don't know. I'm going to change my tips.
Guarantee you would be talking heaps better. At Dingo. Oh,
says you.
At Dingo, H2. Grab a mirror, people who wouldn't want Teddy in their team. He's undoubtedly a great player. However, leave him out of your competitive limbo team. He can't seem to duck further than enough to get his hit in the face every week. Hashtag, am I the only one who noticed? Hashtag, injured till Tacker sent. I don't know what that means.
Can I have a go now?
Go on.
All right, former.
So scratch this.
I've got a Florida man story for you.
Down to Florida, we welcome you to the Sunshine State. They're kicking back and soaking up the rays every day in Florida.
The gift that keeps on giving, Florida.
Melbourne.
This is the headline. Florida man fakes death for 20 years, only to learn that he was never wanted by the police in the first place. A Florida man, 20 years ago, swam out into the ocean and was presumed dead, leaving behind a distraught fiancé and a young child. Benny Wint, that's his true name, Google it if you want. Benny Wint, truck driver and hide-and-seek champion, was pulled over by police during a routine traffic stop recently for a broken light over his number plate, former. The US coppers bashed the shit out of him over it.
Put two into him. A couple of warning shots over the top of him. But
after pumping 7 shots into him and then asking him questions, Benny Wint immediately broke down in tears, saying,
after pumping 7 shots into him, then turning their body cams on.
Then they asked him some questions, and Benny Wint immediately broke down in tears, saying, "You've got me. I can't live like this any longer." A search of Wint's record revealed that the gun collector and all-you-can-eat buffet enthusiast, America, was under the impression that he was wanted by police.
Hard to get a feed over there.
But it was not the case. Mr. Wint explains that 20 years ago, he was taking a lot of drugs and eating a lot of Doritos, and he became rather paranoid. He mistakenly believed that the cops were not only out to get him, but a criminal gang was trying to kill him. He decided one day to head out in the ocean and fake his own death. And unbelievably, it worked. This idiot has been on the run from no one for two decades. No police charges have been laid except for a broken number plate light, and his fiance is seeking 20 years of child support for their now 22-year-old son, Cletus. But it got me thinking, former, of some of the best hide-and-seek champions we've seen. Elvis Presley?
Yeah, good.
How can someone so healthy die so young? Surely he faked it all, went into hiding.
You're an idiot if you don't think that.
Michael Jackson, supposedly still alive. But closer to home, remember Olivia Newton-John's fella?
He's still missing.
Apparently he's still hiding.
When I say missing, on an island with a bunch, about six chicks apparently.
Yeah.
If rumours led to believe.
He's doing it well. Peter Falconio, still hiding. Malcolm Naden, murderer and former winger for the Dubbo West Side team. They found him after he was hiding for 8 years. And, of course, Madeline McCann. So grab a mirror. You magnificent Florida man, Benny Wint, 20 years on the run. Sure, no one was looking for you, but well done, you magnificent bastard.
Three.
At rights underscore rants, with all W's. Hashtag grab a mirror at former underscore legend.
Hey.
Your list of magicians last week forgot an all-time great close to home. Benny Elias's magic in making the Balmain Leagues Club disappear is legendary. Hashtag mystery. Hashtag great businessman. It's a good point.
Of all the business ideas that West Tigers come up with and get bashed for,
yeah,
everyone's coming out saying, oh, geez, they really need Benny to come on board. Let's hand over half the club to him.
Two
fucking idiots.
At biggest faloo. Hashtag grab a mirror, James Tedesco. Stephen Hawking is more likely to stay upright going into a contact. Hashtag and he's wheelchair bound. Hashtag and he's dead.
Are you going to do a Stephen Hawking impersonation? Your impersonations last week were top shelf. It was like having Normie back on the podcast.
One.
The glory days. What got number one this week?
At Dave Vella. Hashtag grab a mirror, every player agent that is not Chad Townsend's player agent. You all better pick up your game if you're competing with this negotiating wizard that got Chad 2.4 over 3. Hashtag, do you watch games in North Queensland? Hashtag, has to be pesos, not dollars.
We all want you to go grab a mirror.
Bo Ryan's manager.
We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Are you having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, Bucks or Hens Night coming up? Mayor Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom-made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mayorinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mayor Inc. has you covered.
Go to mayorinc.com.au. Go to mayorinc.com.au.
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, it's round 11, Sid, and it's brought to you by bluebet.com.au. And, of course, from bluebet.com.au is Duncan McRae. How are you going, champion?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Former Sid, all the listeners, hope everyone's well. Bit of a controversial week, but we'll push on. Mr. Rubber League knows what he's doing, so let's see what happens post-Magic Round this weekend.
Just quietly, wouldn't mind owning a car park near Rugby League Judiciary.
Yeah.
Well, my good friend Sean Garlick, he's on the Judiciary, got the rap sheet last night. He's already got blocked off 3 nights for his troubles.
He's selling pies out there.
Oh, please, please. Well, I don't know about you, Sid, but I haven't found meat in one of them, and I've had about 1,000 of them. So.
Let's start on Thursday night, boys, and it's the North Queensland Cowboys against the Newcastle Knights. two teams that were pretty disappointing on the weekend up there at Sinbin Round. It's $1.55, the Cowboys. It's $2.35, the Knights. It's up there at Yokel Credit Union Stadium. Dunks, take your pick here. The handicap's at $4.50, $1.90, take your pick. So it's a pretty even game.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys at home, boys. I think we all tipped the Tigers last week, and fair enough. They're like Tommy Turbo, the Knights. Without Kalen Ponga, they are rudderless. I can't have them. I think the at home, Cowboys for me, boys.
Yeah, unbelievably, I picked the Knights last week against my Tigers. Couldn't lose. I didn't care about my tips, but the mighty Tigers got up. But yeah, I think you're right. Without Ponga, they will struggle. So North Queensland, but this is a bit of a toss of a coin for me.
Yeah. I'll back the
There's
Cowboys.
A few games this week. A bit of a toss of a coin.
Jason Taumalolo, talking about tossing. magnificent once again. I'll have the Cowboys, but with no certainty. The first game on Friday night sees the Warriors take on the West Tigers. It's up there on the Central Coast at Single Mothers Stadium. It's $1.51, the Warriors. It's $2.55, the West Tigers. We haven't been favourite for ages, which has been great.
Yeah.
The handicap's 5.5. Take your pick at $1.90 with bluebet.com.au. Dunks, see you tempted to back the Tigers.
I can't take them back-to-back win, boys. No way in the world. Got to tip the Warriors here. I think they've been disappointing over the last couple of weeks. Think they'll turn around. Probably the strongest side they've put out for a while. Just too Jekyll and Hyde for me, your Tigers, boys. Got to tip the Warriors.
Well, I think the Tigers have turned the corner. I'm loath to pick them, though. I should pick the Warriors. That way I can't lose again. I'll make up my mind on Friday, but I think the Tigers have turned the corner. It was a coaching masterstroke last week to put Mbai at 5'8". Now he's off to the Dragons, apparently.
Is he?
Yeah, that's the word today. Mm. I think it will be a close one, but if the Tigers play like they did last week, they will account for the Warriors.
I'm a bit like you, Sid. If I back the Warriors and they win, then I get my tip right. If they lose, well, that means the Tigers have won, so it's a win anyway. So that's where I'll be backing the Warriors. Yeah, that'll do me.
All right, I'm changing. The Warriors.
The second game on Friday night, well, it's the Derby. It's Cronulla Sutherland Sharks at their home ground at No Means No Stadium, taking on the St. George Illawarra Dragons. It's $1.40, the Sharks. It's $2.70, the Dragons, if you don't mind. 5.5 is the handicap to the Dragons, $1.90. Take your pick with bluebet.com.au. Dunks, what do you reckon?
Yeah, former, I picked it up in your voice. I'm with you, brother. $1.40 the Sharks. Leave me out of that. I'm tipping the Dragons. Tipping the Dragons at a big price here. I know they've got a lot of injuries, but still, they've still got Corey Norman. They've still got Ben Hunt. Still got a pretty strong forward pack. I could no way in the world take the Sharks at $1.40. Going to tip the Dragons for an upset, and I think it's a great price. I mark this game a lot closer in the market.
Yeah, I have to agree. They are pretty bashed up. I think they're missing 12 first-grade players to choose from, but they didn't have many to choose from to start with. They're all imposters there at the Dragons. But I think the Sharks are even bigger imposters. They're my pick for the spoon. So in a home game for both teams, $2.70 is too juicy, St. George.
The great Sean Johnson returns. That's probably the difference in the market there at $1.40. But $1.40 in the Sharks in 2021, you can leave me out of that. I'll take the Dragons at $2.70. I'll take them with absolutely no confidence.
You've always been a fan of the Dragons.
I mean, they are at home and away at No Means No Stadium, so who knows. We go to Saturday. The Gold Coast Titans take on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Well, two real in-form teams here. It's $1.18, the Titans. That's right, $1.18. They're like $4.75, the Bulldogs, if you want to back them.
What a cracking game this is going to be.
The handicap's 12.5 to the Titans, $1.90. Take your pick, bluebet.com.au. Dunks, would this be a good game to watch if you wanted to put someone to sleep?
Well, I think the Titans will win easily, and I'll be betting up, boys. I'll be betting 20-plus on the Titans. You know what my thoughts on the Bulldogs. I just think the Gold Coast back at home, they'll turn it on here. I'm going to go same game multi, Anthony Don to score at any time, into the plus 20 for the Titans for me.
Is Flanagan playing? I haven't seen the team list.
I don't think so.
Either way,
he'll be playing for De La Salle Cronulla next week.
Yeah, either way.
Warrington.
Either way, the Titans are going to win. The Bulldogs, they can't score more than 18 points, and I think the Titans have got way more than 18 in them.
They might have 18 before 20 minutes in.
Yeah, Titans all the way.
Cannot back the Bulldogs. I tell you what, They are a flop this year and very disappointing. And Trent Barrett, I mean, some questions might be asked because Dean Pay's out there driving trotters again, slow trotters.
Geez, they'd be slow trotters with him on them.
Mate, they'd have to be asking what's going on.
His cardigan would slow him down.
The second game on Saturday sees the Sydney Roosters take on the Brisbane Broncos. Oh, it's $1.12, the Roosters. It's $6.25 for the Jekyll and Hyde Broncos. The handicap's at 18.5. Jesus, wept with bluebet.com.au. Feeling generous. It's over there at Mardi Gras Stadium. Dunks, are you going to head out and watch the mortal enemies, the Roosters, take on the Broncos?
You know I'm a South fan, former. Please, I don't go near any Roosters home game unless the Mighty Bunnies are playing. Look, what a model of consistency the Roosters have been. They play tough, hard, aggressive footy every week. I've got to tip them here easy at the line, boys. I can't have the Broncos. Oh, very consistent, the Roosters. It doesn't matter who they play, they turn up with the same attitude. Very keen on the Chooks here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. No matter who they slot in, because they've been smashed by injuries, they all do their job. $1.12, Roosters all the way.
Mate, while ever Teddy's there, while ever Sam Walker's still learning, they are special against the Broncos, who are, I don't know, they're legless.
Yeah, they're gone.
The last game on Saturday sees the Canberra Raiders take on the Melbourne Storm. You would have thought this was going to be a real tight game about 6 or 8 weeks ago, but here we are, Raiders $6. The Storm are $1.13. The handicap 7.5 at the line. Dunks, will Ricky be happy?
Well, he would do Santa Claus, the Rickster, wouldn't he? He's, look, and everyone thinks I'm going to be on the Rico gear here, but I'm going to tip Melbourne, obviously. But I'm going to the Raiders at 17.5. I've got to have a peanut on that at home, boys. I know I'll probably get beat by 50, but I think the Raiders will be up for this. They've got a good record against the Storm. Always tight games. Especially in Canberra, I know they've been in awful form, but I'm going to have something on the Raiders at the plus 7.5.
Yeah, even down at Geelong Cold Stadium, you got to back the Storm. Even after Josh had a bit of a shocker last week. He only scored 3 tries. He's in poor form, down from 6.
Has he named him this week?
You'd be lucky to be named.
Only getting 3.
Oof. That Nacho kid, he goes all right as well. They'll be too strong, the Storm. I'm going to put Josh Hadakar down for 3 tries yet again.
Yeah. Easy game, footy. The Storm. You couldn't back the Raiders with someone else's money. The Rabbitohs take on the Penrith Panthers on Sunday. Well, this is the game we've been waiting for. It's out there at Malcolm Naden Stadium. It's $3.50, the Rabbitohs. It's $1.30, the Panthers. The handicap is 10.5. If you can find the ground, who do you think's going to win out there, Dunks?
Well, the Bunnies might have been camping out above the Dubbo Zoo all week, so I'm going to go to the Bunnies, boys. You know, I tip my rabbits every week. $3.50. They welcome back Latrell. They welcome back a host of others. Josh Mansour against his old team. Obviously, the Panthers are magnificent. What more can you say? They're a great team to watch. But I'm going to tip the Bunnies, boys. You know, I don't go past my Bunnies.
It is a danger game for the Panthers. Every week, they're closer to a loss.
You'd imagine that this might be a bit of a danger game, really. Yeah, $3.50 well. Seems a little bit... Not. It's enticing, put it that way.
The thing tipping me in the favour of the Panthers is if you're taking away a home game away, especially out to Malcolm Naden Stadium, you deserve to lose. It'll be a close one. It'll be a good game, but the Panthers are just too good.
Best thing to come out of Dubbo is the Macquarie Highway. We all know that. It's, yeah. You know what? I'll back the Panthers, but I'm tempted to have a crack at the Rabbitohs.
It's the match of the round.
Especially giving away 10.5. You could nearly take that at $1.90. The final game, and well, here we go again, Manly and Parra. It's the Eels taking on the Manly Warringah Seagulls. It's the last game. It's up there at Wankbest Stadium, of course. It's $1.44, the Eels. It's $2.80, the Seagulls. The handicap, 7.5 to the Seagulls, obviously. What do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, boys, what a match of the round. What a fantastic game. Two informed teams. Look, boys, at the value, I've got to tip the Seagulls. I know it's out there at Bank West and they've got a great record. They're playing well, but... Geez, the Eagles are playing well too. Tommy just improves everyone. Have you ever seen a more improved person on the wing than Charlie Saab's brother, Jason? How good's he going?
Yep.
I'm going to tip the Seagulls in an upset here, boys.
Yeah, I can't agree with you there. The Eels, even though they don't have the mongrel about them, they don't get out of second gear when they don't have to, the Eels will be too good.
Well, I think the Seagulls are a really good bet. I really do. I think...
Put your money where your mouth 100% is,
100%, I'm back in the Seagulls.
And excellent. I'll catch up this week.
I'm telling you now, they're the type of game that'll annoy Parramatta all day. They're a bit flashier than them, and that's why someone like me is leading the tipping comp. I'm on 57.
You are on 57. Sid's tipped the round.
Sid's on 56. Dunks.
You got 8. I got 7. Dunk, only 5 last week, mate.
You've stopped.
Yeah, well, I'm going for the upsets. I'm really going for the home run. Just not working, is it, really?
That's not working. The creditors are on 51. They're catching up
to
you.
I'm like Wayne Bennett. I'll come good in September, boys, please. I'll get my team ready.
Let me ask you two things, mate. Bluebet, what are the... Can we get a market on whether the Bulldogs will win 2 in a row before the Panthers lose 2 in a row?
I will get a few... few former markets up for you, great man, that's for sure. This week.
One more thing. And I've got this from a very good source, but I've looked on Bluebet and I can't see where I can back it. Malta to win the Eurovision Song title this weekend. Get on. Get as much as you can.
Interesting.
Okay, nice woman. Who we got there? A transsexual singing Xanadu or something? What do we got for us out of Malta?
I think we've
sing
got...
us a few bars of the song. You were doing it in rehearsal.
Mate, I'm telling you now, they will win and win comfortably.
Interesting.
Win going away. Tom Trbojevic is playing for him.
Can't wait to tune into Eurovision Song Contest.
All right, Dunks, it's been fantastic chatting to you once again. Happy punting and good luck out there at Malcolm Nathan Stadium. It's a long way past bluebet.com.au stadium, I'll tell you.
Absolutely, boys. You have a great week. All the listeners, take care, lads. I'll see you next week.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
And it's, of course, this time every week we go to a Patreon guest tipster.
And this week it's the great Barjas. And I tell you what, he's been in rare form, they reckon, in the tipping. And
yeah.
Let's see what he's going to go with this week because he needs to lift the creditors.
Afternoon, lads and creditors. Barja here. Hope your magic weekend hangovers have settled down. It's my turn to show you my tips. And so back the opposite of these in a multi and you'll be sitting pretty. Thursday night, we've got the Cows versus the Knights. Somehow the Knights will do it. I don't know how, but they'll do it. Friday, Warriors versus Tigers. Tigers will get up in that somehow as well. Also, the Sharks and Dragons. Dragons will do that one easy. Sharks are shot. Saturday, we've got Titans versus Dogs. We're going the tits from that. And then Chooks versus Broncos. Chooks will dispose of them nice and easy. Then Raiders versus the Storms. Storms, once again, will just be too good. Sunday, we've got Bunnies versus Panthers. Panthers will do that. Wayne's boys won't be able to handle it. Then we've got Eels versus Manly to round it all off. And I've picked Manly for some reason. No idea why, but why not? Also, I'm tipping 13 plus sin bins, 2 send-offs, and a shitload of whinging on Twitter. Anyhow, that's all I've got. Buy some live show tickets, send Sid some free stuff, and don't forget to subscribe to my OnlyFans. Cheers, boys.
I totally recommend that OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah. That's the great man, Bargie, who deals with our Insta page.
Dropped about 40 kilos, the great man.
Yeah. Get on his OnlyFans. It's fantastic. Let's do this.
Sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sack.
Boys sack mail and feedback, and this week, same as last week, go to fullcreditpodcast.com for all your full credit to the boys' needs.
Needs.
You can sign up for our Patreon, you can buy some merch. But we do have a live show coming up 26th of June. With, I can't read it here, I'm just going off the top of my head. We've got some footy stars. We've got
Mark
Bill
Carroll.
Harrigan and Spud Carroll. We've got members of Six and Out Band, and it's going to be fantastic. We're going to play a live version of Has It Aged Well?
Oh, man, that's going to be worth coming along.
This is why Mrs. Sid takes all your phones. So go and buy a ticket. A lot of people have. And if you want to get a ticket with a table of all your creditor mates, send me an email and let me know. They're filling up very quick. In fact, might be too late, but I'll look after you. We're also doing a show for the renowned footy club. We advertised that last week. Mm. It's their 70th anniversary dinner. We've got Junior Pierce, Mike Whitney, Gus Warland for Gotcha for Life is going to be there, and a host of other megastars.
But not Chris Walker.
Chris Walker will not be there.
He can't be as good as last time.
He's both beloved and banned from the renowned footy club. He may make some kind of appearance. They love him down there at Renown. For those people that went a couple of years ago, we couldn't do it, unfortunately, last year because of COVID. But 2 years ago was a blinder.
Because of COVID and long memories.
We had Jason Nightingale. We had Kerry Hemsley, Guru.
Didn't Bucket suck the life out of the room at one stage?
The one and only time we've hosted a show and a guest got booed. It was fantastic. We had a heap of creditors there up dancing in their boxer shorts. Not going to name any names, Beer Boy. It was fantastic. I think Beer Boy's coming to that one this year. So that's a good night. You got to get tickets separate to us. So check out our Insta and on Twitter. Mm. Matt Riley's the man. Contact him. That's a good night. So for all your Full Credit to the Boys podcasting needs, go to fullcreditpodcast.com.
Snail mail time. Oh, yeah. Tipping comp. I went up about 30 spots in other news.
Yeah, you tipped the round. Good on you.
easy game tipping.
Yeah.
Snail mail. Couple of letters here.
P.O. Box 4166.
One from Peter Volandis from the NRL. Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. If you think the sin bin for high contact is bad, just wait until next week when players will have their balls tasered for swearing. Regards, Peter.
That's what they should go after next, swearing.
This one's from Samantha from Bowral. I don't know anyone from Bowral.
No.
Hi, farmer and sod. My people told me that you mentioned my podcast on your show last week.
Oh, we did.
I encourage you to have a listen, especially if you want to hear more about me. I have a segment called Ex-Breakfast TV Host or Cash Cow. Spoiler alert, they're both me. I also do Grab a Mirror, where I grab a mirror and look at myself for 10 minutes while reading out all the listeners' favourite stories about me. And at the end of the podcast, I do Samantha's Trivia, where I tell the listeners something great about me. So tell
good
all your
format.
Tell all your white friends to tune in. Love, Samantha.
Thanks, Sammy.
Finally, one from Craig M. from Sydney. Been a big wake for Craig M.
Check, who's check. Craig M.?
Check 1-2. Check 1-2. Hey, fellas. So it's okay for Sid to do funny things like inappropriately kiss, touch, and lick Beryl the IGA, but as soon as I do it with my co-workers, everyone cracks the shits. How come you've never had to go on telly to clear your name, Sid? Yours sincerely, Craig.
Because Beryl's not with us anymore. Thanks for bringing that up. It's a touchy subject. I feel like I'm going to cry more than Craig M.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his two-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's former legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
Yeah, I've got two this week.
Oh, awesome.
We're going back to the bedroom.
Okay.
The record for the most female orgasms is 134 in 1 hour.
Yeah, I don't know if that's accurate.
Do women have orgasms? Really?
Wow.
No. I haven't seen it.
I know you haven't.
What about this one?
Okay.
Fat men. No matter what happens from here, it's good. It's good news.
I was like, tell us what your facts are. No, I'm not. I'm going to surprise you. Here we go. What do you got for me?
Fat guys last on average over 3 times as long in the bedroom as skinny guys. That's something seems out of whack here because not in my experience. 2010 Turkish study looked into the average performance times of men over the course of a year. The researchers found that fat boys could keep going for an average of 7 minutes, 18 seconds.
Stop bragging.
Stayers.
Yeah.
While skinny guys' partners had to put up with a mere 108 seconds.
Interesting. When I say interesting, I mean it's not really that interesting.
Do you want another one?
Okay, hit me with another one. You're using them all up. We've got another 20 weeks to go on this podcast.
Good point. Sex can relieve a headache. It releases the tension which restricts blood vessels in the brain.
Yeah, but then they want to get married and it's forever a headache for us.
The longer a man's,
oh, here we go again.
The longer a man's ring finger is compared to his index finger, the more testosterone he has.
Yeah, wow.
Good one, Stumpy.
Everyone's listening right now, looking at their hands like I am. Is that all you got? Can we get out of here for another night?
A man can reduce his chances of getting prostate cancer by having at least 4 orgasms a week.
Jeez. You're like a vampire.
Tell you what.
You're going to live forever, my friend.
I've had 4 and you're on sweet.
I know. Let's get out of here.
See yous.
Good night.
The vagina and the eye are self-cleaning organs, so you don't have to put anything up the passage to clean them. Not in my experience.
Don't get the two confused. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action?
Am I gonna see some action, baby? A single human male produces enough sperm in 2 weeks to impregnate every fertile woman on the planet.
Wow.
Or cover the back of your door in your ensuite.
That's why they're having problems down in Melbourne.
See you. I gotta know what you're doing with me. I got a lot, but I ain't got all night. Don't be sharp, baby, I won't bite. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action?